thank you for checking out Real Talk Personal Finance. Shit's about to get real. Cashflow King with you today. And today in episode number 10, we are going to discuss Roth IRA intermediate concepts. For those of you that may have missed it, if you've not yet listened to episode number 3 on Roth IRA basics, I would strongly recommend that you go back and listen to that episode, or maybe if you just heard it in passing as you were kind of rushing to get caught up to the current episode, if you really didn't listen to it in excruciating detail, or maybe you missed a thing or two, because there was a lot of information packed in there, I would strongly encourage you to go back and listen to number 3 on the basics. Today's episode, in episode number 10, is going to build on some of those concepts. It's going to also assume that you are somewhat familiar with Roth IRAs. You know what they are. You understand the benefits of having them and using them. And today's episode is just really meant to build on that one and go into a few different things that we may have touched on a little bit in that episode, or at least alluded to. But we're going to do a little bit of a deeper dive into a few different items in today's show. I haven't yet decided if we're going to do an advanced or expert concepts type of show, because we can even kick it up a notch and take it a step further from what we're going to do today. I probably could have put everything into this episode, but I thought it would just be too much. So today's episode is on the intermediate concepts, and we'll talk about a few things there. And again, please reference episode number 3 if you haven't already. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is the backdoor Roth IRA. So if you remember and refer back to episode number 3, I'm not going to go over the limits again today, but we talked about the limits for 2021 as well as for 2022 as far as income limits and how much is quote unquote too much in the eyes of the IRS in order for you to make what's called a direct Roth IRA contribution. So if you remember back to that episode, if you were below those thresholds, you could make a direct contribution. If you were in what's called the phase-out range, you could make a partial direct contribution. And if you were over the top ends of those thresholds for the respective years, you could not make a direct Roth IRA contribution. And that's kind of where we're going to pick up today. The backdoor Roth IRA is essentially something that when the IRS says that you make quote-unquote too much, that you earn too much, and you can't make a direct contribution into a Roth IRA, how would we go about getting new contributions in there? And as you might imagine by now, the backdoor Roth is one way to do that. So it's a way to still get money into, ultimately, a Roth IRA. There's just a couple of extra steps that we have to go through. So that's what we're going to start off with talking about today with this backdoor Roth IRA. And so essentially what you would want to do potentially is make a contribution into a traditional IRA. So there aren't any income limitations on quote unquote earning too much to make a traditional IRA contribution. Now there are limits on whether or not you can deduct that contribution, and that's going to be a combination of things like whether or not you or your spouse, if you're married, have access to a retirement plan at work and what your income levels are. There's a few different moving parts to determine if those contributions would be deductible. That's not what we're going to be talking about here. We are talking about having a traditional IRA or opening up a traditional IRA where we are going to make what's called a non-deductible contribution to that traditional IRA. So you are not getting any immediate tax benefit from doing that. You're going to fund it with money that's already kind of chilling in the bank or in a credit union account. You're going to go ahead and make that contribution, if you choose to, into a traditional IRA as a non-deductible contribution. So you're basically putting it in as cash. The way that I normally like to do this is I will literally put the contribution in as cash and intentionally will not invest it for a period of time. Everybody's a little bit different in terms of how they like to do this. There's, like I said, going to be a few different moving parts. The way that I like to do it is I want to put it in as a contribution, and then I want to see a statement from the company that I'm investing with that shows me that I made a contribution to that traditional IRA. I want to see it on a statement in writing so that I know it was recorded properly. Then, in the next step, what I'm going to do is I'm going to convert that contribution from a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. And normally, when you do what's called a conversion, and there's a couple different ways to do this, we'll talk a little bit later in the show about other types of conversions, but for the purposes of the backdoor Roth IRA, what we're assuming is that we make too much money to make a direct Roth IRA contribution, and that we want to implement the backdoor Roth IRA, at least while it's still available. We're recording this at the end of February of 2022, and currently it is still available, although it has been talked about that that could be changing in the future. So depending on when you're listening to this, it may or may not still be available, but as of now, it is. So we want to make that backdoor Roth contribution. We're going to put a non-deductible contribution into a traditional IRA. Personally, I don't like to invest it while it's in there. You may choose to. That's up to you. I want it sitting as cash because I don't want to invest it and have a gain that I'm going to then have to pay taxes on. If it sits for a month or a couple of weeks, depending on when you put it in, as cash in order to be recorded on the statement, to me, that's not a big deal. So you have it recorded on the statement. You get your next statement. It shows a contribution. Great. You know that they recorded it properly. Now we go ahead and do that conversion, and it goes from that traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. And now, once the money is in that Roth IRA, we can go ahead and invest it in whatever it is that we otherwise would want to invest it into. You'll see on your next statement, it should show as a conversion. And then you will know that that was also recorded properly. And there's nothing that says that you necessarily have to wait. Could you contribute it and then convert it right away? Sure. Way back in the day, and I won't get too much into that, but there was something called the step transaction doctrine, and this sort of backdoor Roth IRA was kind of frowned upon, and basically it was essentially a quote-unquote loophole, and somebody could come back supposedly to you and say, well, you went ahead and put it in as a traditional IRA, and then you immediately converted it into a Roth IRA, so your intention all along was to just put it into a Roth IRA. Well, yeah, no shit. But we don't necessarily want to make it that obvious. So that was one of the reasons that some people back in the day would advise that, okay, go ahead and put the money in, but don't convert right away. And they might tell you to wait several months. So do it at your own risk if you decide you want to do that. But in today's environment, it's really not that big of a deal. Everybody knows that it's going on. And that's one of the reasons that the backdoor Roth IRA is actually on the chopping block. There's a lot of reasons, but it's a known thing. People are taking advantage of it, and it may or may not be around forever. So I don't think you really have to worry today in today's environment as much about step transaction doctrine and some of the other things that used to be a concern for a lot of people in terms of whether or not they would implement the strategy. So if we do everything that we just described, you have now essentially affected a backdoor Roth IRA. You took a contribution that you couldn't put directly into that Roth IRA. Instead, you put it into a traditional IRA as a non-deductible contribution. You then waited whatever period of time you wanted to, if any time at all, and you then converted it into a Roth IRA. So ultimately, the dollars flowed from your bank account into the traditional and then got converted into the Roth. So you've made effectively a Roth IRA contribution without making a direct Roth IRA contribution because we had to jump through this little side hoop. And that's fine. And for the most part, we're good to go at that point. Assuming that you don't have any money in any other IRAs. These could be traditional IRAs, rollover IRAs, SEP IRAs, simple IRAs, any different type of IRA. If you have $0 in any other IRAs, then you're good to go. And you don't really have to worry about the next bullet point that we're going to talk about. But if you do, let's say you went to work somewhere, maybe you had a 401k plan at your old employer, you at some point left that employer, you decided to roll that over into an IRA. So some people will term it as a rollover IRA, which is just another fancy name for a traditional IRA. But a lot of times we will, rightfully so, keep those assets separate for record keeping purposes. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today. But let's say you had a rollover from an old job and you have money now sitting in an IRA somewhere, and you make quote-unquote too much money to make a direct contribution to a Roth IRA, which is why we're now talking about the backdoor Roth IRA, and you do what we just described. Well, it may or may not work out the way that you wanted it to or the way that you initially thought that it was going to. There's something out there called the pro rata rule. And basically, all IRAs, for the purposes of this conversion in the eyes of the IRS, are looked at as pretty much one big-ass IRA. So if you have a rollover IRA that you have your old 401k that you rolled into, now you start a new traditional IRA because you want to do this backdoor Roth method, and all of a sudden now you do what we just described, but you had money in this other IRA just sitting there, the IRS pretty much says, well, not so fast, buddy. So let's look at an example to see how this would play out. And some people will talk about this or refer to this as sort of the cream and the coffee analogy. Once you put the cream in the coffee, you really can't separate the cream from the coffee, right? So it's one big ass IRA is the way that they look at it. Let's say you have $95,000 for ease of round numbers in a rollover IRA from your previous job that you rolled into an IRA. And now you want to make a backdoor Roth IRA contribution of, let's say, $5,000 to keep the numbers round. So you have your $95,000 rollover IRA plus now your $5,000 non-deductible traditional IRA contribution. So your quote-unquote one big-ass IRA is $100,000, okay? So if that's the case and you decide, well, wait a minute, yeah, I have this other rollover IRA for $95,000, but I just put in this $5,000 and I only want to convert this $5,000. I want to cherry-pick this $5,000. And that's the amount I just put in as cash, and I didn't take a deduction for it, and that's the amount that I want to convert. Why would I have to pay any taxes on the conversion if that's the money that I'm converting? And that's where the cream and the coffee thing comes into play, because they look at it and say, well, you got $100,000 in your one big-ass IRA, and $95,000 of that's from that rollover. That's pre-tax money that's never been taxed before. So anytime if you decide to convert any amount of money, even if it's a dollar, it doesn't matter. In this example, 95%, 95,000 divided by 100,000 is 95%. 95% of any conversion is going to be taxable. So in this particular example, if you put in that $5,000 and then you decide to just go ahead and convert $5,000, 95% of that $5,000 contribution is $4,750. So now you would have to pay taxes on that $4,750 because 95% of the converted amount is what's going to be taxable. So that's something that I think trips a lot of people up. Again, it's the pro rata rule. And there's a strategy that I'm going to describe here in a moment in terms of how to deal with that. And I've actually done this myself. But it is something to be aware of, because if you just start going ahead and doing this and you don't really think about the other accounts that you have, then you know you could be in for a surprise. Before we get into a strategy on dealing with this pro rata rule, another thing just to mention, if let's say in that same type of example, you had an old retirement plan at work, say a 401k at your former employer, but when you left that former employer, you also left the 401k there. So it's still your money, it's still within their plan, but you never rolled it over. It's just kind of sitting there. Then this pro rata rule would not apply to you, assuming that that plan was like a 401k or 403b or some other type of employer-sponsored plan that was not an IRA. So if it was a SEP IRA or simple IRA or anything like that, it is going to count. But if your plan basically does not have IRA in it, then you're probably good to go. So let's say that this is your situation. How do we deal with this? And what's the strategy of not having to worry about the pro rata rule, which in this example pretty much means almost anything that you want to do as a backdoor Roth IRA contribution, when you convert it, you're going to get slammed in the face with a tax bill. Well, the idea in an ideal world would be to have a minimal or really no balances in any other IRAs at all by December 31st of that year that you're doing the conversion. So you basically want the money out of those IRAs. Now, does that mean that you should go fucking cash it out and go buy a bunch of shit? No, that's not what we're talking about. But what you can consider is rolling over, and I know this sounds kind of backwards. I've done this myself, and I've had a couple folks from the different companies that were like, are you sure you want to do this? And I had to give them a fucking education on, yes, I'm sure, asshole. So what you want to do or consider doing is rolling that IRA, this rollover IRA, this traditional IRA that you've had from your former job that you rolled over, and see if you can move that or roll that into your existing employer-sponsored plan. So it might look something like this. You go to work at job number one. Then you leave job number one, and job number one had a 401k. Now we start at job number two. Job number two also has a 401k. But in the meantime, you took the 401k from job number one and you rolled it into an IRA. Now you're making a shit ton of money at job number two. You can't put money directly into a Roth. You want to do the backdoor Roth, but you're now aware of this pro rata rule and you want to know, well, how the hell do I get around this? You then take that rollover IRA from the funds that originally were generated through your employer-sponsored plan at job number one, rolled them into the rollover IRA after you left job number one. You take that IRA and you go to your employer-sponsored plan at job number two. Let's say you got a 401k at job number two, and make sure that they accept incoming transfers and rollovers. Most plans do, but not all do, so you want to double check that. And then also, just a few other considerations, you want to look at things like investment choices and fees and expenses and all that kind of shit. But assuming all else is equal, and there's no major downside in terms of that new plan at job number two, that new 401k, you can take that IRA, and assuming your 401k at job number two allows for it, you can actually roll that into your 401k at job number two. Boom, mic drop, right? Most people don't even know that that's possible. It's typically the reverse of what you're used to. Most people hear about, well, I went to work and I had a 401k and then I rolled it over into an IRA. And they think once it's in an IRA that it's done. That's not necessarily true. And there could be certain instances where it may make sense for you to consolidate that back into an employer-sponsored plan. And this very well could be one of those instances. And like I said, I've had to do this myself. Now, once you take that rollover IRA, you've now rolled it into your 401k, let's say, at job number two, you no longer have any balances in a traditional IRA because that money's been rolled over back into your 401k plan. The only balance that you're going to have now is any money that you contribute to this new traditional IRA as a non-deductible contribution. So the only money that's going to be in any traditional type of IRA is going to be the money that you put in as the backdoor Roth IRA method. You're no longer going to have to worry about, in this example, that $95,000 rollover IRA that's sitting there. So now, when you do the same steps and you do this same backdoor Roth IRA with the conversion involved, you're not paying taxes more than likely on much, if anything, if you've left the money in cash, if you don't have any investment gains, when you do this back to a Roth IRA method. So the first step, really, like I said at the top of the show, would be to go back and listen to episode number three, listen to those limits, and figure out whether or not you can make a direct Roth IRA contribution. And if you can, then don't worry about any of this shit. It's way easier to just do that. But if you're fortunate enough to be above those thresholds where you quote unquote make too much money and you have to go about it this way, the next thing that I would look at is, okay, do I have any money in any IRAs? And if I do, can I move that money into another employer-sponsored plan if it makes sense to do so? And if I can, great. Now, when I go to do this back to a Roth IRA, I don't have to worry about the pro rata rule. Otherwise, if you don't do that, that's okay, but you just need to be aware of the example that we had gone through in terms of how much of that conversion amount is actually going to be taxable. And if you're okay with that, then that's fine. Nothing says you have to do this workaround or this strategy that I just described to avoid the pro rata rule, but most people don't know that the pro rata rule exists in the first place, so I think it's worth mentioning. Okay, that's the first big section of the show. I have three sections of the show today. The last one's going to take like 2 minutes. The first one we just went over, which is the backdoor Roth IRA coupled with the pro rata rule and a strategy for dealing with the pro rata rule. So that's essentially chunk number one, if you want to call it that, of the show. Chunk number two, we're going to get into some different five-year rules. And we talked about some of these in episode three. Hopefully it was clear, but I want to elaborate a little bit further on some of these rules. And there's actually a new one I think that we're going to be bringing in here that I don't believe we talked about, or if we did, might have just been mentioned in passing on episode number three. But we're going to talk about a couple different five-year rules. So the first one that we're going to cover is a five-year rule to determine if the earnings, which is the growth, the interest, the dividends, the capital gains, any money that the account quote-unquote makes, right? To determine if the earnings come out tax-free, all right? And then we're going to talk about another five-year rule here in a few minutes. On a Roth IRA, you may remember this from the first episode, we're worried about starting the five-year clock and getting it out of the way. And once we do that for any Roth IRA that we might have, even if we somehow have multiple Roth IRAs over the years, once you satisfy the five tax year rule for one Roth IRA, you've now satisfied the five tax year rule for all Roth IRAs. So it's kind of a one and done type of thing. So if you don't take anything else away from this section, get the 5 year clock started as soon as possible so you don't have to worry about it again. All right. Now, anytime, just as a quick refresher, you put a contribution into a Roth IRA, depending on what tax year that contribution goes in, that determines when that clock gets started. So for example, we are at the end of February 2022. If we open a Roth IRA now, or even in the case of what we're talking about with the backdoor Roth IRA from the last section, and we do a conversion and that money gets converted, well, actually the conversion is a little bit different. So let me go back for a second. If we put money into a Roth IRA as a direct contribution, so you're under the threshold from episode 3, you can put money straight in there, and we're at the end of February of 2022, and you put it in as a 2022 contribution, then your five-year clock starts as though that money was sitting there on January 1st of 2022, the beginning of the year. A little bit different, but somewhat similar. If you put the money directly into a Roth IRA, again, you're under the income thresholds, and you can make a direct contribution, and you choose to open a Roth IRA right now in February of 2022, but you choose to make a prior year contribution for 2021 because you didn't have a Roth IRA in 2021. When that money goes in, it's as though that contribution was sitting in that account since January 1st of 2021. That would be the start date of your five tax year clock. And again, this is only for those direct Roth IRA contributions if you're under those income limits. But let's say that you're not under the income limits and you're listening to this show and everything we just talked about with the backdoor Roth IRA is something that you're looking to do. Well, now, any time that you do a conversion, the year that you convert, so if you did it right now in 2022, the year that you convert is always going to be the first year for the purposes of your five-year tax clock. And I know that's probably a mouthful, but anytime you do a conversion, especially if you're doing it for the first time, and there is a different clock, by the way, which we'll get into on conversions themselves. That's why this gets a little bit confusing, hence the intermediate concepts title of the show. For the five-year clock that determines whether or not the earnings are tax-free, whether the growth comes out tax-free, and that's not the only rule, but to determine if we've met that five-year rule, we're going off of contributions. And the example that I just gave about a direct contribution for current year or prior year, that's one way to determine it. But the other one, if you can't make a direct contribution and you have to do a backdoor Roth, and then we convert, it's the year of conversion that starts the five-year clock. So let's say that we go ahead and we're here in February of 2022 and we decide we want to open a traditional IRA to do the backdoor Roth method. And we make a traditional IRA non-deductible contribution for 2021. And now we go ahead and convert that into a Roth IRA in 2022. We don't get to use the January 1st of 2021 as the start date for the five-year clock. Because we converted in 2022, then it's January 1st of 2022 that is the start date for that five tax year clock for the purposes of determining whether or not earnings will be tax-free if you meet some other criteria, but if the earnings portion will be tax-free when you take money out. So there is a five-year rule. Contributions, kind of a one-and-done thing. If you're doing the backdoor Roth and you have to do the conversion, same thing. Once you convert, it's the year of the conversion that starts the clock. Also, for the purposes of the earnings, it's a one-and-done type of thing. However, if you have an employer-sponsored plan, so now we're not talking about a Roth IRA. We're going to talk about, say, a Roth 401k. Technically, these are often called designated Roth accounts. If you have a, say, 401k plan at work that allows for both pre-tax and Roth contributions, also a designated Roth account, that Roth 401k will have its own five-year clock for purposes of determining whether or not the earnings are going to be tax-free upon distribution. So every single employer-sponsored plan that has a Roth component or a designated Roth account will generally have its own five-year clock. But there are some ways to get around that with the employer-sponsored plans. And one way is if you were to do a direct transfer. So going back to our previous example, instead of talking about the Roth IRA stuff, let's for a moment pretend that job number one had a Roth 401k. and then we left that employer. And let's say that we were there for 3 years. And then we go to job number two, who also has a Roth 401k, and job number two allows for incoming transfers and rollovers. So we now take the Roth 401k that has a 3-year clock that was started from job number one and directly do a trustee-to-trustee transfer into the Roth 401k in job number two. That 3-year clock in that particular example will now essentially carry over to that new employer's plan. So that is one sort of way that we can look at it and one way that we can go about it where that can carry over. What will not happen though, let's say we did that and now we're at job number two for 10 years, okay? So we've way past the 5-year window on the plan, on the Roth 401k. And we leave job number two after that 10-year period and we've never had a Roth IRA before. And all of a sudden we decide to roll that Roth 401k over into a Roth IRA. And we say, well, we're good to go because we have, you know, more than 10 years in these Roth 401k plans. Nope, tough shit. If you've never had a Roth IRA before and the rollover itself that you're doing establishes that Roth IRA for the first time and you've never had any other Roth IRA, you are still subject to the 5-year rule on the Roth IRA. In other words, the Roth 401k plan and the 5-year clock on that is completely separate from the Roth IRA and the 5-year rule on the Roth IRA. So what's the takeaway? Start your 5-year clock on your fucking Roth IRA as soon as possible and you never have to worry about any of this shit, okay? So that's one thing to know. But the other thing is, in the event that you had a Roth IRA for an extended period of time and then you also happen to have a Roth 401k at work and for whatever reason you didn't roll it over when you separated from that employer and you went to take money directly out of that Roth 401k at work, it gets complicated in a hurry. And we're probably going to save non-qualified distributions for the advanced or expert episode because it's way too much shit to get into right now. The point that I'm trying to make so far in section two is this. The Roth IRA has a 5-year clock to determine whether or not the earnings come out tax-free. The Roth 401k and similar types of employer-sponsored Roth plans, also known as designated Roth accounts, also have their own 5-year clock to determine whether or not the earnings are going to come out tax-free. Those two things do not cross over. Once you meet the rule for one Roth IRA, it's met for all. And once you meet the rule for one Roth 401k, it can only carry over to the new plan if you transfer it directly into the new plan. Otherwise, if you left the Roth 401k at job one and started a new Roth 401k in job two, the Roth 401k at job two still has its own 5-year clock that starts from scratch. Doesn't really matter what happens with Roth 401k from job number one. Okay. So that's probably a lot. You may have to rewind that. You may want to grab a drink as well as you're listening to this, but not too many if you want to be able to follow along with what's going on here. But 5-year rules on the earnings portion. So there is a difference between a 5-year clock in a Roth IRA and a 5-year clock in a Roth 401k. That question comes up all the time. People get that confused all the time. Advisors get that confused all the time. I can name a handful of people that don't fucking understand this shit, and it drives me crazy, especially when they're advisors and they're giving people bad information. So anyway, that's one thing to be aware of. Now, the other 5-year rule, so we're going to call this kind of section 2B. 2A was the 5-year rule to determine if earnings are going to come out tax-free as long as a couple other criteria are met. 2B is going to be the 5-year rule on what's called Roth conversions. All right. Roth conversions. Each Roth conversion has its own clock. Okay. But as I said a little while ago in section 2A, any Roth conversion counts towards starting the contribution clock, essentially. And I know that sounds kind of weird. There's a lot of moving parts here. But for the purposes of the conversions, there is a separate 5-year rule. And this really only comes into play for anybody that's under age 59 and a half. The Roth conversion rule has to do not with the seeing if earnings or growth is tax-free, but the Roth conversion rule has to do with determining if the principal is penalty-free. So the principal is going to be essentially your money that's been converted, right? And whether or not that can come out penalty-free. So what the hell are we talking about? Let's say, forget about the backdoor Roth IRA for a second. Let's just go back to, hey, had a job, had a 401k pre-tax, rolled it over into a rollover IRA, also known as a traditional IRA, still pre-tax, and now I just want to start taking some money from that pre-tax IRA and convert or move a little at a time into a Roth IRA. I'm not making a contribution from my bank account. I'm not putting new money in. I'm just taking money that was rolled over from my old job that's chilling in a rollover IRA that's pre-tax, and I want to start converting a little bit at a time into a Roth IRA. That's a conversion. Because those funds are pre-tax funds that you've not paid taxes on previously, whatever amount that you convert is taxable. That's kind of what we're talking about here. So let's say, hypothetically, somebody has 100 grand and they decide, after talking with their accountant, that they want to convert $10,000 for a particular year from that pre-tax rollover IRA into their Roth IRA, okay? How do we determine when, once that $10,000 is in the Roth IRA, that's our principal, our conversion principal, how do we determine when that money can come out to us without any sort of penalty? Well, we've already paid the taxes, remember, because we converted it from pre-tax to Roth. So the taxes are out of the way. We're not talking about the earnings or the growth. That was handled in the last rule. But we're talking about whether or not we can take that money out without a penalty. Like, what? Why, how would this ever come up, and why is this important? Let's say you had somebody that was 50 years old, 50, and they're not going to be 59 and a half for almost another decade, 9.5 years. But they might want to access their funds a little bit earlier than normal. Well, if they wanted to, if this five-year rule wasn't in place, because normally if you take money out, and there's some exceptions to this, but generally speaking, if you take money out prior to 59 and a half on most retirement plans, you have to pay a 10% IRS early withdrawal penalty. Well, what happens if the 50-year-old that has the money in the rollover IRA says, well, shit, I want to take some money out, but I don't want to pay a 10% penalty. So I'm just going to take the money and pay the taxes by the way of conversion, converting that money from the pre-tax rollover IRA into the Roth IRA, and then I'm just going to take it out of the Roth IRA. Fuck the IRS, right? Like, I don't have to pay the 10% because it came out of a Roth IRA. And they said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute there, pal. Not so fast, right? You have to season it, basically, or leave it in there for 5 years. And they do that to discourage people from doing that, because otherwise you could just circumvent the 10% penalty by simply doing the conversion and paying the taxes, but then you get out of the penalty because the money's now in a Roth IRA. So that's where this five-year rule comes into play. They say, well, wait a second there, pal. You have to leave it in there for 5 years. And then after 5 years, if you want to take out, you know, that principal, the conversion principal that you've now already paid taxes on, we'll let you do it without a penalty. So you can technically avoid the 10% IRS early withdrawal penalty by doing that. And that's where you hear a lot of people talk about, and we're not going to get into it today. If we do an advanced or expert show, maybe we throw it in there, different Roth conversion ladders, people that are essentially quote unquote retiring early and wanting access to their funds sooner than they otherwise may have access to them by just spreading out or laddering out these different conversions at different intervals so that every 5 years they have a chunk of money that becomes available to them, their conversion principal, where they don't have to pay a penalty on that. And they've already paid tax, or in some cases with good planning, maybe not paid tax or very little, if any, tax on the conversion amount. That's beyond the scope of today. We're not going to get into that. All you need to know for this section 2B so far is if you're over 59 and a half, don't fucking worry about it. If you're under 59 and a half, just know that the IRS is smarter than all of us. And they basically know that people would otherwise look to circumvent the system. So they put this five-year rule in place for your conversion principle, okay? And that's, again, to have that come out penalty-free. It's always going to be tax-free. And it, as I said, if you're over 59 and a half, it doesn't really matter. So this is essentially a way for people under 59 and a half to potentially access some retirement dollars, quote-unquote, early without actually paying the early withdrawal penalty, assuming that, you know, you haven't met any of the other exceptions that are out there. As I probably said a couple times now, but just want to reiterate, each conversion carries its own five-year clock. So this is different than Section 2A when we were talking about the earnings being tax-free. Now in Section 2B, we're talking about whether or not the principal is penalty-free. Earnings tax-free, principal penalty-free. There's a couple different things going on there. As I mentioned, any conversion or even a direct contribution, if you're fortunate enough to be able to make one to a Roth IRA, also starts the five-year clock for the earnings to be able to come out tax-free. And again, we didn't explicitly state this in this episode. We did go over this, I think, ad nauseum in episode 3, but we're going to go over it real quick here. You also have to meet another major requirement in addition to some of these five-year rules, especially for the earnings portion. So 59 and a half, you have to be at least age 59 and a half or older, plus met the five tax year rules as far as the earnings component goes. Death, which we don't like to think about, but that's another one. Total disability is defined by the Social Security Administration, or also first-time home buyer up to $10,000. So any of those things, and I may be missing a couple of them, but those are the big ones. One of those has to be in place, plus the five tax year rule. And if both of those things are true, then you can access your earnings or the growth portion of the Roth IRA completely tax-free, and it would be considered what's called a qualified distribution. As I mentioned, all conversions must happen by December 31st of any given year. So your five-year clock for any conversion that you do is always going to start in the year that you actually do the conversion. And that's a little bit different than with Roth contributions. Again, if you make a direct contribution because your income is below the thresholds, that can actually start the clock in a prior year. So if you make the contribution early enough in any given year and you make it for the prior year, your clock can start in the prior year for a contribution. That's not true for conversions. Conversions always start the clock in the current year, January 1st of the current year. Okay. So that kind of wraps up section 2 on the different five-year rules. So again, quick recap, section 2A, five-year rules about the earnings coming out tax-free. The Roth IRA has a five-year clock. The Roth designated Roth account or Roth 401k type plans have their own five-year clocks. Those two things cannot be sort of mixed together. You can take an old Roth 401k plan, transfer it into another, directly into another Roth 401k plan, and have that clock carry over for those employer plans. But that's not the case when you take the Roth 401k and roll it over to a Roth IRA. The Roth IRA needs to have its own five-year clock. Last thing I'll say about that, and I didn't mention this, so this is a little bit of a side note, not quite a recap, but on the Roth IRA, if you have a Roth IRA open for at least five tax years, and let's say you have a job where you have a Roth 401k, but you're only there for 2 years, and then you roll it over into that Roth IRA that's already met the five tax year rule, those Roth 401k funds that were rolled over into that Roth IRA and that Roth IRA has already met the five tax year rule, then those funds are good to go. So again, the biggest thing, if you don't remember anything else, you want to start and get completed that five tax year clock on a Roth IRA as soon as possible. One way to do it, if you can, if your income is below the thresholds, as we said in episode 3, go ahead and make a direct contribution to a Roth IRA. And if you do it before the tax deadline of any given year, you can make that direct contribution for the prior year and start the clock a little bit sooner. If you're above the thresholds and therefore you're interested in the backdoor Roth IRA method, you can still go ahead and make a traditional non-deductible IRA contribution for the prior year and then convert it in the current year, so right now in 2022, but the five-year clock is going to start on January 1st of 2022 because it's a conversion that's starting that clock, right? It wasn't the contribution that went into the Roth IRA. It was the conversion that went into and started that Roth IRA. So it's a little bit different. It'll take you just a little bit longer to hit that five-year clock, but still doable, and you want to make sure you do it sooner rather than later. So different five-year rules going on there for the earnings. There's a separate five-year rule for conversions to see whether or not the conversion principal is penalty-free. That really only applies if you're under 59 and a half. If you're over 59 and a half, you don't have to worry about the penalty because there isn't a 10% IRS penalty if you're over the age of 59 and a half. So you never have to worry about the five-year rule on your conversions. It's kind of a moot point as far as that goes. That's section 2. Finally, section 3 is really quick on withdrawals. So in case you're curious, and you may remember me back on episode 3 saying that your contributions and only your contributions in a Roth IRA and only a Roth IRA are accessible anytime, any reason, tax and penalty free, that is true. We didn't talk much about that today on the intermediate show because a lot of those listening to the show are going to do the backdoor method. So it gets a little bit tricky because it's not exactly a contribution necessarily that's in that account. All right. And for some of you, you may have started making direct contributions and then later made too much money and have to do the backdoor method. So now you got contributions and you got conversions and hopefully you got some growth or earnings in the account. And it can get a little bit tricky. And that's where section 3 comes in on withdrawals. And this is really easy. It's basically on a first-in, first-out method. and the order of operations to determine when you pull money out of a Roth IRA, what is the ordering of that distribution. It's going to be contributions first, to the extent that you have contributions in the account. It's going to be conversions next, and starting with the oldest conversion. Again, first in, first out. So as we talked about, every conversion has its own five-year clock. So contributions first, then we go to conversion, starting with the oldest conversion. So the money that's been in there the longest is the money that's going to come out first, and that's good for you, especially if you're under 59 and a half and you're trying to plan this out. And then finally, earnings or growth is last. So only once both the contributions, if any, and the conversions, if any, are completely taken out of the account, then and only then do we get into the earnings that come out last. And that's the order of operations for the Roth IRA distributions. It does, and again, I'll probably save this for the advanced or expert episode if we do one, get a little bit trickier on the Roth 401k or designated Roth account distributions. We get, again, into the pro rata rule, which we're not going to get into now because this episode's already getting a little bit long. But just know that if you don't remember anything else from today's episode, you want to start the five-year clock on a Roth IRA as soon as possible. If you don't make that much money, make a direct contribution and get it started. If you make quote-unquote too much money, do a backdoor Roth, which involves a conversion, and that conversion will get your five-year clock started. Ultimately, all else being equal, when you separate from an employer that may offer a Roth 401k plan, if you have the ability to have a plan like that at your workplace and you leave that employer, generally speaking, you're probably going to want to consider rolling that over into your Roth IRA. And as we talked about in episode 3, there are a lot of other advantages from a planning standpoint, from a minimum distribution standpoint, and other requirements to have the money ultimately end up in a Roth IRA. So whether you can make the contributions directly or whether you have to do the backdoor Roth, and in addition to that, if you have some rollover money and you want to start converting, we didn't talk much about that today. Again, that's probably a theme for another episode on the advanced or expert Roth IRA concepts, but you also can start strategically converting a little bit at a time with the help of your accountant or tax advisor, hopefully, to start getting more and more money into the Roth IRA. But the takeaway is start the five-year clock. Ultimately, you want all money to end up in the Roth IRA, and that's basically it, really. I guess I could have saved fucking 40 minutes and just said, hey, put money in a Roth IRA, roll money into a Roth IRA, have your Roth IRA there, take money out of your Roth IRA, and you don't have to worry about a lot of the other shit. But I think a lot of the stuff that we talked about and covered today is important. Hopefully, that's not clear as mud, and you did get something out of today's episode. I would fully expect that the majority of people listening to this, your head's probably spinning a little bit. So go ahead and grab another drink. And whether it's some other time today or in the near future, I would encourage you to re-listen to the show. You may even want to listen to it and take a couple of notes. This is information that, again, is not really basic. It is, as the show title says, at least intermediate. Some people might think that this is the expert version of the show. And trust me, it can get a little more complicated than this. But there's some good nuggets in here. So hopefully you come away with some great information as far as that goes. And you've enjoyed the episode. You've learned something. If you do have any questions, again, feel free to shoot an email to realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. Again, that's realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. And we'll do our best to get to you on a Q&A show. That's all I have for today. Thank you for joining us for episode number 10, Roth IRA Intermediate Concepts. We will see you in the next episode.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.